right versus left collectivism in the 20th century. The great events of the early 20th century served as intellectual touchstones in the battle between the left and the right for the soul of the socialist. World War I pitted East against West in the century's first great conflict of incompatible social systems. Leading German intellectuals on the political right were clear about what they took the onset of the war to signify. The war would destroy the decadent liberal spirit, the bland spirit of shopkeepers and traders, and make the way for the ascent of social idealism. Johann Plenge, for example, was one of the outstanding authorities on both Hegel and Marx, was also a man of the political right. His landmark book, Hegel and Marx, reintroduced scholars to the importance of understanding Hegel to understanding Marx. For Plenge, liberalism was a corrupt system, and so socialism had to become the social system of the future. Plenge also believed that socialism would come first to Germany. Quote, "Because in the sphere of ideas, Germany was the most convinced exponent of all socialist dreams, and in the sphere of reality, she was the most powerful architect of the most highly organized economic system, in us is the 20th century." Unquote. The Great War, accordingly, was to be celebrated as the catalyst for bringing that future into existence. The war economy that had been created in 1914 in Germany, wrote Plenge, quote, "is the first realization of a socialist society, and its spirit the first active, and not merely demanding, appearance of the socialist spirit. The needs of the war have established the socialist idea in German economic life." Unquote. Thus, Germany's defeat in World War I was devastating to the collectivist right. Möller Vandenbroek, unquestionably a man of the German right and an implacable foe of Marxism, summarized the defeat thus, quote, "We have lost the war against the West. Socialism has lost it against liberalism." Unquote. The crushing loss of the war and the psychological defeatism that came with it in Germany contributed to the meteoric success of Oswald Spengler's The Decline of the West. Spengler was another man of the right. In Decline, written by 1914 but not published until 1918, Spengler offered a pessimistic combination of Herder and Nietzsche, voicing themes of cultural conflict and decline, arguing that the long, slow victory of liberalism in the West was the clearest indication that Western culture was, as all cultures eventually did, slipping into softness, flaccidity, and ultimately insignificance. All of the markers of Western civilization, Spengler argued, from democratic government to capitalism to the developments of technology, were symptoms of decay. Quote, "The frightful form of soulless, purely mechanical capitalism, which attempts to master all activities and stifles every free, independent impulse and all individuality," unquote, had prevailed, and virtually nothing could be done about it. Ludwig Wittgenstein was thunderstruck by his reading of Spengler. Martin Heidegger was moved profoundly. The Decline of the West catapulted Spengler into the front ranks of German public intellectuals. Immediately following the success of Decline, Spengler brought forth his Prussianism and Socialism in 1920. Turning from cultural history to political theory, Spengler hoped to wrest the label socialist away from the Marxists, and to demonstrate that socialism required a national and organic focus. Agreeing with the Marxists, Spengler argued that the ideal state required, quote, "the organization of production and communication by the state, everybody to be a servant of the state," unquote. And agreeing with the Marxists and against the soft liberals, Spengler argued that, quote, "socialism means power, power and more power," unquote. But against the Marxists, who were too rationalistic and too enamored of technology, Spengler argued that real socialism would be organic and rooted in the natural rhythms of life. Marxism, he believed, shared responsibility with capitalism for generating the artificial and materialistic world of the West. Quote, "all things organic are dying in the grip of organization," unquote, Spengler wrote later in Man and Technics. Echoing Rousseau, quote, "an artificial world is permeating and poisoning the natural. The civilization itself has become a machine that does or tries to do everything in mechanical fashion. We think only in horsepower now. We cannot look at a waterfall without mentally turning it into electric power. We cannot survey a countryside full of pasture and cattle without thinking of its exploitation as a source of meat supply. We cannot look at the beautiful old handiwork of an unspoiled primitive people without wishing to replace it by a modern technical process. Unquote. We cannot recapture our lost connectedness, Spengler believed, so it is too late for socialism. But, like the heroes of old, we should face up to our destiny stoically and with no illusions. Quote, optimism is cowardice, unquote. All that we can do as beings of honor in a world of decline is stick to our duty. Quote, our duty is to hold on to the last position, without hope, without rescue, like that Roman soldier whose bones were found in front of a door in Pompeii, who, during the eruption of Vesuvius, died at his post because they forgot to relieve him. That is greatness. Unquote. While Spengler was pessimistic, other right thinkers still saw a chance for true socialism. Ernst Jünger, who had been inspired by Spengler, inspired some of those right thinkers. Jünger had been wounded 3 times in the Great War, but he had returned home determined to renew the fight against the decadent West. The war had been a loss, but a loss that could be transcended. We are, wrote Jünger, quote, a new generation, a race that has been hardened and inwardly transformed by all the darting flames and sledgehammer blows of the greatest war in history, unquote. Another right thinker who still believed that socialism could come to be was Werner Sombart, best known as an outstanding sociologist and fiery critic of liberal capitalism. A good Marxist for much of his career, Sombart had moved toward the right in the early 20th century. To Sombart, that did not involve abandoning socialism, but rather strengthening it. It was absolutely essential, Sombart argued, quote, to free socialism from the Marxian system, unquote. Doing so would make it possible to forge a better form of socialism by focusing it nationally and by rejecting the pretense of being able to, quote, prove the necessity of socialism by means of scientific arguments, unquote. Socialism would then regain its, quote, power of creating new ideals and the possibility of intense feeling, unquote. A new nationalistic focus and rejuvenation of socialism's idealistic feelings would, he thought, better enable socialists to combat the true enemy, liberal capitalism. Sombart's next major work, Merchants and Heroes, 1915, continued his attacks on liberal capitalism by contrasting two opposed types of social being, one decadent and the other noble. And Sombart's attack on that primary target continued through 1928 when, agreeing in essence with Spengler and Moeller, he said of the socialist ideal, quote, this thought is destined to preserve mankind from a danger which is much greater than that of bureaucratization, and that is the danger of succumbing to mammonism, to the profit devil, to material interest mongering, unquote. Quote, liberalism, wrote Moeller, is the death of nations, unquote. So socialism had to be able to prevail against it. Yet it had to be the correct kind of socialism, and the correct kind of socialism was not Marxist. Marxist internationalism, the right thinkers from Spengler to Sombart to Moeller argued, ended up being a false or illusory version of socialism. There is no universal culture, so there is no universal set of interests, and no universal form that socialism can take. Socialism must be national. It must be rooted in each culture's distinctive historical context. Quote, every people has its own socialism, unquote, wrote Moeller, and so, quote, international socialism does not exist, unquote. And in a remark that was prescient of the coming decade, Moeller wrote in the 1920s, quote, socialism begins where Marxism ends. German socialism is called to play a part in the spiritual and intellectual history of mankind by purging itself of every trace of liberalism. This new socialism must be the foundation of Germany's Third Empire. Unquote.